Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. Ryan Girdler, Dave Riccio, Adam Reynolds. My name is Tony Squires. The Eels 22 over the Sea Eagles 20. That was a game that was absolutely on the line to the dying seconds when Mitchell Moses converted from the sideline to put the Eels finally in front. Terrific game of rugby league. We'll dig into that in detail right now. But I just want to get to you. The Des Hasler, when he walked into the post-game press conference, shuffled in probably is a better description of what he did, wearing that ill-fitting suit with the collar sticking out. I love his look. He wasn't happy, obviously, when asked questions about some of the performances and some of the decisions made by the bunker and, of course, referee Ben Cummins. Just have a little listen to what he had to say.
The Tuipulotu tackle at the end, did you have a view and review of that? Did you think that it was not high, perhaps?
Yeah, it wasn't high, no. It was a good tackle. It's a brave tackle. It's a, they're called a try save. Yeah. You know, and the idea of the game is defence, and the idea of a try save is to... they come up with big plays. It was a great play. It just sort of just adds to the disappointing too on the result, you know, like on the back of a 9-2 penalty count, you know. He legged them back. They got legged back into the game, I thought. You know, a couple I can wear, you know, a couple of stupid penalties we gave away, but forward pass and probably the Gutherson kick chase was probably at least a metre offside. So, you know, I'm sure Benny will review his game.
And certainly Des Hasler not particularly happy with how that all played out. Gerds, you agreed with him on a couple of points, I understand.
Yeah, oh, look, Tone, I just reckon there's too many games being decided on accidental contact these days. And I know it's all about player safety and so forth, and we've come a long way in that regard, but there's just certain situations in games, and we're seeing so many of them, that there's nothing that the players can do about it. Like, if you take that that Tuipulotu situation, you know, it's the dying stages of the game. Parramatta are 2 points or 4 points behind. And he's just got to do everything he can for his team to get across there and shut that play down. So he sets himself early. You can see he sets himself. And if he doesn't go in as hard as he did at the angle that he did, thinking that the ball carrier was going to be sort of standing upright, well, then the guy scores the try, yeah? And then the penalty and the outcome's irrelevant for what he does because he can't stop it going in any other way. And the fact that the guy slips over just before impact while the guy's already set in his line, we need to start... I mean, the officials train, you know, they're developed and they train and they've also got to get better at their job as we go along. But the fact that, you know, we're seeing so many of these situations just because it's a black and white scenario with, oh, it's, the onus needs to be on the defender and, you know, there can be absolutely no contact with the head. Well, maybe we've got so many officials now and we go up to them so often. Maybe there's a chance that at some point the game needs to say, well, we need to make decisions with the people that we have faith in, that we put in the positions to get it right, that if we kind of use... you know, their position in the game with the experience that they have to make those calls, Tony. It can't be black or white because that effectively then it was the last play. If Manly shut that play down like they didn't get the ball and come out of their own end, well, they probably go on and win the game.
Yeah, that's true, but there does have to be a kind of sense of responsibility. And I think the one that says if contact with the head is made, then there's a penalty. I can live
regardless
with that.
Regardless of how it happens, Tone?
I can live with that. I mean, it happens in AFL, honestly. They can be crawling on the ground and you hit the head and that's contact with the head. It's, you know, deemed high tackle. Rugby union, they start with a red card basically and work backwards trying to find mitigating circumstances. I can understand that given the society and given where we are with game and head knocks and concussions, that's just a real... But what I found problematic about last night was that it looked spectacular. He was falling, but I didn't actually see any contact with the head.
Unless the NRL have got video evidence that we're not seeing in our lounge rooms, at the ground, on the big screen, unless there's something different that they've spotted, I couldn't see any head height contact. And it's a case of over-analysis due to the technology that's available, really. That's the bottom line.
I agree.
There's an over-analysis to computer game level. Really? Look, they are watching everything over and over again. Gerds, I'd take all the colour that you painted out of the picture. If that tackle's made in the first, second, third or fourth minute, I don't think it's a penalty. I don't think it's a penalty in the 79th minute, and I don't think it's a penalty in the first, second minute. I take out the fact that what the score was, the situation of the game has to be refereed on its merits, and there was no evidence that we could see of head-high contact. The problem I also have is that only a few plays earlier, Martin Taupau whacked Regan Campbell-Gillard in the chops.
And they had a look at that, didn't they?
I didn't like the look of Regan staying down, but I also don't know how much pain he was in either. So,
yeah.
But they missed that. They let that one go. They didn't miss it. To the head.
Yeah.
And then the one on Perham, there was no clear evidence. And look, Dez has got every right to blow up. He's got every right to have a whinge. It was a 9-2 penalty count. He was merely stating facts there. But, yeah, that was a really tough call given the tightness of the game.
Adam Reynolds, you've been in that position, obviously, on the footy field. Try-saving tackle, that was all good so far as you could see?
Yeah, I thought it was fine. Everything's happening a million miles an hour, you know. He's setting himself, and unfortunately the player slipped and accidentally, he didn't mean to hit him in the head, if he did get him in the head. But yeah, like you said, I thought the one on Regan Campbell-Gillard was worse, and that was play on from there. A few tackles later, it goes to the sideline and puts a good tackle on, puts him over the sideline, and they call it back. So it's just frustrating as players sometimes when you're out in the field, and you know, calls can go either way at times, and I'm sure as fans, they feel that frustration too. They're obviously as passionate as the players are week in, week out. They see their team performing the way they do, and you know, to get a call like that was pretty rough.
Tell me, has the pace of the game changed dramatically from last year to this year? I mean, the whole thing was, let's keep building momentum, let's just have the ball in play and so on. Obviously, this year with the penalty inside your own 40 rather than just a 6 again, but, you know, the captain's challenges, the kind of use of the bunker regularly and going back and forensically investigating play by play, has it slowed down?
I'm not too sure, to be honest. Obviously, with the stoppages and all that, it does slow down through that sense, but I can't see it getting any faster than it was. It was pretty tough as players out there. You know, the ball's in play for a good 60-odd minutes. It's pretty physical at the same time. And, you know, we had a lot of injuries through that period, so I don't know if the numbers are stacking up the same this year. But as players, it feels like, you know, the ball's in play. Obviously, different matches, different circumstances. You're going to get a lot more stoppages in some games rather than others. But, yeah, I'm not too sure on the balance. As players, obviously, we like the break a bit more.
I don't think the game's any faster, Tony. I just think that the ball's just not in play as much. And I think they even did some analysis on, you know, when they changed the rules over the last couple of years as opposed to what it was like previously to the rule changes. And it wasn't so much more the speed of the game or the speed of the play of the ball. It was just that there was more fatigue in the game because the ball was in play a lot more and there wasn't all the stoppages. And that's what creates not just so much a faster game, but a different game where there's more opportunities, there's more ruck speed, and you see the little guys coming back into the contest. And I think we've sort of gone back to the days where it's all, you know, setting lines for big set pieces out the back. Now, if you look at both the games last night, the majority of tries, other than the West Tigers, where a dummy half, you know, got a couple of sneaky ones from dummy half, it was all set for set piece for set piece for set piece. And that's where we're seeing most of our points that are generated, which tells me that, you know, there's no momentum sort of through the ruck. There's no generated ruck speed and playing off the back of that, as opposed to just always, you know, getting a guy to get to a certain part of the field and then putting your big, you know, your big set pieces on. And it's just not as exciting as it was, Tony. And they just they went away from, you know, what they created, which instead of just sort of waiting just to see how that looked when the dust settled, they've sort of changed it again, allowed, you know, the coaches to have another off season of working out how to get around the rules. And they always want a defence orientated game because it slows things down, allows their defensive line to get set. But now the NRL have that problem of, okay, well, it's here now.
Yep.
Not, you know, people aren't really that happy with it. Where do we go to?
On the flip side of that, I've noticed this, and Reno, you're an exponent of it. This chip and chase in behind the line, the kick in behind the line, we saw it last night with West Tigers Jock Madden. Over the top of Dufty, who was defending up in the line. Reno did it last week.
He almost got chip happy last week. Yeah, he scored the try.
It was Alfie Langer-esque.
When something works once, mate, you just go back to it and keep going back to it.
Matty Moylan also did a similar thing. I think it was against the Bronx a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Because what Gerds is talking about, this structured defensive style and the way teams are very much coached so similar to the next team, are you spotting something now, Reno? Are you spotting the way fullbacks are defending in the line and And is this a new weapon that we might see?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, down in when you're defending your red zone there or on your try line, fullbacks like to jump in the line and create an extra number. Obviously, where the threats are on the field, and you know, it's so hard to attack down in the opposition, you know, 10, 20 meter zones now, because the fullbacks are jumping in the line. So you need to try and come up with a way to combat that. And obviously, when there's no one at the back there, there's little triggers where we can hold up players and, you know, get a bit of space behind the line and give your chasers a clear run to the ball. And, you know, sometimes teams rather attack from, you know, their own half or, you know, around the 50-metre line because the fullback's not in the line these days. So it's a tricky one. Obviously, as a kicker, we're always looking for space in behind the line, and teams obviously have that up and in defence these days. So, yeah, the kick is sort of a weapon these days. Obviously, you know, you've got to try and catch them out. They're good, so good at defending structures these days, that it's the stuff that Gerds was saying, the off-the-cuff stuff, the offloads, all those sort of things that are troubling teams these days.
All right, look, there's so much more to unpack from this game, so we will do that. We're going to speak with Mitch Moses very shortly. We can chat to him also about, of course, it was Clint Gutherson's 150th game. They absolutely desperately wanted to do the job for him, and they did it in the dying seconds. The man who put the ball over that black...
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.